Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the first episode of the Buffalo Beat of the year 2021. The Bills are just one game away from ending their 2020 regular season. They've got a matchup with the Miami Dolphins on the way. The Bills are already locked into either the number two or number three seed. Miami, of course, playing for their playoff lives. And a win would cinch them and get them into the postseason this year. Welcome in, everybody. My name is Joe Biscaglia. With me is my podcast co-host Matthew Fairburn, and today we'll take a look at the matchup of the Bills and the Dolphins, maybe from a little bit of a different perspective. Now, if you have listened to us over the past week, you'll know that we are both of the belief to get their big guys some rest for this game. And just to update everybody that hasn't really stayed with it and what Sean McDermott has been saying throughout the week, he has not given one single indication as to who would be playing in this game, whether or not he would be resting his starters. But if you look at things from how they approached week 17 last year, they gave a lot of their starters the first drive and then they took them out for the rest of the game. So the Bills have a decision to make whether or not to use their starters to go for the number two seed because a win would lock that up, or if they just stay with the rest the players that are most important approach and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, either way, they're avoiding Kansas City in the second round. So we're going to take this episode as a hypothetical to say, what if they do decide to rest their starters? And because this is really going to be the last time that we'll be able to see the younger players and the depth players of the roster get the focal point, potentially the focal point of what could be an important game to some offseason decisions. So, Matthew Fairburn, when you look at this game and what the Bills could potentially do, who they could rest, of all the players that are likely to get an enhanced opportunity this weekend, as long as they rest their guys, which kind of strikes the chord for you the most and in getting their potentially biggest shot of the 2020 season?
Hey, I feel like I'll be looking at the offensive line for this, just because there's a few players further down the depth chart that would be, you know, somewhat interesting to get a look at. And the offensive line, you know, they have some upcoming free agents. There could be some movement in the offseason with that group. So a guy like Ryan Bates that hasn't seen the field much at all this year, that's a guy that they've been developing behind the scenes, somebody that, you know, they speak highly of and they seem to have a lot of faith in. He could, you know, find his way into a role on this team at some point, not this year, obviously, but at some point that could be in his future. And so I think he's a guy that would be worth getting a look at, especially against, you know, Miami's, you know, going to be playing their best. And that's a pretty good Miami team. You know, I think you don't put in backup offensive linemen until you take the quarterback out. Not to say that whoever they throw in at quarterback is any less important, but you're not throwing any backup lineman in there while Josh Allen's playing for obvious reasons. The other guy outside of Bates on the offensive line is Trey Adams. I don't know. I think it would be kind of an indication in some ways, you know, if they decide to play backups, if they call guys up from the practice squad, and Trey Adams is or is not among that group might tell us a little bit of something about how he's coming along. He didn't look great during the preseason, but
neither did AJ Epenesa.
You know, during training camp, I should say, there was no preseason. He didn't yet, but he's, you know, a rookie with no off season and a guy that, you know, physically kind of needed some time, you know, to get, you know, right. And so he's sort of the ideal jar on the shelf practice squad type of player. Those obviously don't always work out. They don't, you know, most of the time they don't, but it would be interesting if they don't play him. You know, obviously that tells us a little bit of something about where he is, but if he's out there, I think that would be, you know, an interesting guy to watch, because if they could have hit on an undrafted guy like that, you know, they have so much depth on the offensive line and they're constantly reloading every year, but it feels like this offseason could be a transition offseason for them potentially up front. And, you know, this is a chance for them to evaluate what they have deeper down the depth chart.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad you brought up Trey Adams, because he was kind of a focal point of the thoughts column I just wrote for us over at The Athletic. And Adams, to me, represents exactly what this whole Week 17 game in 2020, among all other years, should be about, because they didn't have the preseason games like you mentioned. And Adams would be essentially a free look at seeing what you have there, because Darrell Williams, an unrestricted free agent, Ty Inseki, an unrestricted free agent. Like, their tackle depth chart is not exactly set in stone. And as you correctly pointed out, this could be a kind of sneaky transition year for the offensive line in the offseason. But if they can hit on some of these younger guys and maybe even get just a slight indication in game against a team that will be going for it, which is what makes this Week 17 so much different than last year's, because last year they played a Jets team basically running for the bus and won just by default. This year they're going against a Dolphins team that wants with every inch of their body to come away with a victory here. So for Trey Adams, I think that would represent a humongous opportunity, and perhaps maybe tipping their hand slightly. I don't know how much you can read into this, but the Bills did make Trey Adams one of their four protected practice squad players this week. And they haven't done that much this year with Adams. He has not really been someone that they have really focused on for one of those four spots. I mean, it's always been the two veteran offensive linemen, Jordan Debby and Jonathan Harrison, but Adams really hasn't been among that list. So perhaps this is a positive sign towards that. And if they do bring up Trey Adams, it gives the Bills the chance to rest four of their starting five players along the offensive line. There would have to be one holdover just for pure numbers. Right now, the Bills have eight active offensive linemen on their 53-man roster, and calling up Trey Adams would give them, obviously, nine. So if you put the four backups in, which are Ty Inseki, Ryan Bates, Brian Winters, and at this point, Trey Adams, then you are sitting with a spot where you could rest all of Deion Dawkins, Mitch Morse, John Feliciano, and Darrell Williams. The one holdover I would expect is Ike Butker. So that's a legitimate chance there. And Adams' progress is going to be very interesting to track, especially if he plays. I would assume they play him at left tackle, because that's where he has played his entire college career. And Secchi is more apt to the right side anyway. I also think they might want to get a look at Ryan Bates on the inside at center too, just to see his flexibility in game, because they've been practicing him there really for the last couple of years. So yeah, I'm with you. Trey Adams is a definite appealing player for this type of game and what they're trying to do. Now, I do wonder, going back to your quarterback point, I do wonder exactly how they're going to approach this game, because the one difference they had from last year to this year is last year in week 17, they only had two quarterbacks on the active roster in Josh Allen and Matt Barkley. This time around, they have three. And I wonder if maybe this year, as opposed to last year, we see Allen actually with the healthy scratches and them allowing Jake Fromm to dress for game day. And even though he's been distancing throughout the year, there are a couple of details that are pertinent to potentially having him active for game day. One, while he did distance throughout practices throughout the season, he also went and worked out in the stadium on game days when all of his teammates were going through their pregame routines. So it's not as though they were completely distancing him. And second, which is, and probably more important, during the games, some of the games, Jake Fromm has been visible on broadcast on the sidelines by Josh Allen, by Matt Barkley. So it's not as though they're distancing him for Sundays. So it seems to me they would be comfortable enough with potentially making him active if this is the approach they're going to take.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how the contact tracing works, but it seems that that is sort of the crux of the distancing. Like it's not as if he's practicing, you know, up at like, you know, UB, and just like never seeing anybody ever. It's a matter of staying, you know, the required amount of distance away from the other quarterbacks, mostly, but also, you know, on game day, it's not as if he can't be around, and it's not as if, I don't think him playing would ruin his quarantine necessarily, because clearly those aren't considered close contacts because Ryan Fitzpatrick tested positive and, you know, Tua's going to play in this game. So I think they can play him without worrying about anything like that. And I think, you know, there's a lot of mental gymnastics you can do with the quarterback position in general this week. Like, would you rather play Jake Fromm so Matt Barkley doesn't get hurt and your backup's still into, like, if Josh Allen gets hurt at any point, be it this game, week one of the playoffs, week two of the playoffs, whatever, that's probably it. You know, that's probably all she wrote. They don't have a Nick Foles situation. I don't think any of these guys behind Josh Allen is capable of jumping in and, you know, leading them quite that way. Could be wrong, right? But I don't think that's the case. So yeah, I think you can play Jake Fromm. I think you could call Davis Webb up again if you need to, if it means getting Josh Allen completely off the field. But they might want to go through the motions in terms of the pregame routine, getting them out there in warmups, keeping that part of things, you know, rolling in that regard. Maybe it would be a viewed as a waste of, you know, a game day active, but getting them out there for a series, or who knows, maybe they feel like they need to go out and handle their business and win this game and at least play them for a half or something. So it's still somewhat up in the air. I would think if they, you know, this is me reading tea leaves, but I would think if they were playing the starters, they would just say so.
Yeah,
Idea that they're like, we have a decision, but we're going to keep it internal, makes it sound like they're not going to play these guys too much, or they have a plan to take them out at some point, and, you know, they don't feel like saying when. So yeah, that'll be, you know, obviously an interesting part of this whole thing is what they do at quarterback, because it'll impact so much else. You know, the receivers are only interesting to watch insofar as they have somebody to throw them the ball. And, you know, of the quarterbacks, Jake Fromm would probably be, I'll take that back. Jake Fromm would be more interesting to watch than Matt Barkley. I am sort of most interested to watch Davis Webb if he were to get a chance. Because he is a former third round pick. He is, you know, this guy that gets talked about as if he's the greatest teammate to ever walk the face of the earth. You know, the amount of value he adds behind the scenes, the, you know, acumen he has for, you know, this scheme and what they're trying to do. I don't think it's, a stretch to say that that guy has more upside as an NFL quarterback than Jake Fromm. Just because Jake Fromm was drafted more recently doesn't mean he's got more potential. So both of those guys are somewhat interesting just because we don't have hardly anything to go off of watching either of them.
Yeah. I do wonder what the likelihood of them calling up Davis Webb for this game actually is, because that would be using one of their, what they will have, three call-ups this week on a position where they are already stocked. And if they are indeed trying to rest guys, I do wonder if maybe they would be best served to go elsewhere. Like, for instance, in this Week 17 game last year featured a lot of TJ Yeldon. And TJ Yeldon is not going to be, likely not going to be available for this game because of his positive COVID test on Sunday of this past week. So because of that, I would expect Antonio Williams to get the call up, their lone practice squad running back, and trying to, and them essentially using him as a de facto feature back in trying to keep both Zach Moss and Devin Singletary healthy. And then when you combine that with maybe putting in an offensive lineman because you're a little bit thin there, and maybe needing an extra cornerback because you're very thin at that position, I wonder if maybe and calling up Davis Webb on a standard elevation would take up both of his practice squad call-ups for the year.
Yeah, then so they'd have to sign him would be the problem,
right?
Which is why we're probably not going to see him, unfortunately. But they also people have asked, but they can't call up Christian Wade.
They cannot.
A lot of people have asked that, so I wanted to throw that out while you were talking about the running backs and Antonio Williams probably getting the call up. Christian Wade has to stay on the practice squad all year as part of that international pathway program. So that would have been a fun one to watch as well. I understand why people are wanting to see that, but they'll have to wait till next preseason, assuming there is one.
Yeah, he's ineligible. And the other sneaky practice squad call up that I think has a pretty good shot of happening, and it's all because TJ Yeldon is on the reserve COVID-19 list, which when you have a member of the active roster on that COVID-19 list, it gives you an additional practice squad call-up and a free call-up at that. And you can call up players that have already used both of their standard call-ups throughout the season. So what my guess is at what they'll do here, if they are arresting their starters, is call up Trey Adams as a standard because they haven't used a call-up on him yet, call up Antonio Williams as a standard because they haven't used one on him yet, and then use the emergency COVID call-up on Dane Jackson. So that way they could both rest Tre'Davious White and rest one of Levi Wallace and Josh Norman heading into the playoffs. Because otherwise, if they didn't have an additional cornerback to bring up, then both Josh Norman and Levi Wallace would have to play all the snaps in this game. So that at least gives the Bills a some wiggle room at cornerback and gets an additional look at Dane Jackson, who's someone who showed a lot of promise throughout the season. So they can go a few different ways, but some of the moves that they made on the practice squad on Friday lead me to believe that that some of the newer guys that they brought in, like Gary Jennings and J.J. Nelson, I don't know that they're going to be a part of the whole thing. And this Bills team, the way McDermott and Bean like to run things, they like to reward the guys that have been there throughout the season. And so I think this a Week 17 call up for guys like Trey Adams and Antonio Williams and Dane Jackson would very much fall on brand for these guys.
Yeah, it becomes a weird dance to play. As they talked about last year, you know, you're essentially having to pick which guys are most important, which seems easy to do on the outside. And when we're sitting here, you know, picking, okay, don't let this guy get hurt, don't let this guy get hurt. Well, if that guy gets hurt, it's okay. You know, in the confines of a locker room and as coaches and GMs, when you're kind of picking and choosing, it can get a little bit tricky in that regard. But It's somewhat intuitive to what, you know, they'll, where they'll want to backfill the roster to make sure they can get at least their core guys out of there for most of the game. And, you know, assuming that is what they do, I think they're going to have a couple of things working in their favor. One being that the Steelers already decided and telegraphed it that they'll be resting guys, and, you know, in particular their quarterback. Doesn't guarantee that they'll lose, but it certainly increases the likelihood, and a loss is as good as a Bills win in terms of locking up the number two seed. The other, you know, piece that they have is they can, it's not as if they won't know the score of that game. So if the Browns jump out to an early lead, you know, if they're going into the game thinking, well, we can't count on the Steelers to lose, if the Browns jump out to an early lead and look like they're in control at halftime or something, that helps them pull the plug as well. So even if it's not the initial plan, I would be surprised if at some point in this game those guys aren't on the bench, just because there's too much working in their favor in terms of being able to pull them out. And I understand the desire to probably get them, you know, some work and, you know, keep things, you know, humming in the right direction. But at the same time, there's going to be too many things that push them over the edge, I think, probably by halftime. I'm guessing the Browns have had some COVID issues that they worked through, but seems like those are starting to settle down for them. And I would think they'll be winning that game at some point, yeah, to where the Bills could say, all right, now's the time to get these guys on the bench.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And the Browns are at practice today. They actually got back in the building today. So it seems like they should be, relatively speaking, good to go to play in that game. And I'm sure the whole Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph angle will be a very interesting one to track as well. And just as a quick refresher on who the Bills rested last year for week 17, they had two injury guys that they did not play in that week 17 game. And that was Andre Roberts, the kick returner, and Shaq Lawson, the defensive end. But had they had those two guys, I think there would have been a couple of more healthy scratches. So the other ones that they did scratch from the game, if you recall, Tre'Davious White, which was an obvious one. And then the other ones weren't as obvious. Well, I guess two of them were. John Brown, Cole Beasley, they both sat. They were healthy scratches for the game. But the other two were Devin Singletary and Dawson Knox for that game. So they did rest some of their core guys. And at that point, Knox and Singletary were getting a high amount of snaps on offense. So that was probably the reason why that led them to putting those guys inactive. But yes, they're certainly not opposed to making some of their core players that play a lot of snaps inactive for the game.
And I don't think it had an adverse effect last year. They lost their playoff game, but they got off to a great start.
Yeah, certainly did not. Like, they made both Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano active last year. They made, I think Jerry Hughes would have been inactive last year had it not been for Shaq Lawson's injury. They basically went with a two-player rotation at defensive end in that game, with Trent Murphy and Daryl Johnson basically taking all of the snaps outside of a handful. I even think they had a defensive tackle lining up on the outside at some point. But yeah, they found ways around it to cut their rotations, even if they did make some of these guys active, because you can't make everybody healthy scratch. My guess is they would would make sure that they aren't losing their core guys. So the ones that I probably think are in the conversation here, Cole Beasley's going to be out. Stephon Diggs, I think, is very much in that conversation. Josh Allen. And then maybe Deion Dawkins, although, it's probably best to have as many offensive linemen as you can. Jerry Hughes, I think, is in this conversation. Ed Oliver, I think, would be among the talk, even though he's probably just a dress and not play so much. Tre'Davious White, I think, should be a no-brainer. Don't risk him if you're going to rest your guys. So, yeah, there's a lot to chew on there, and they can make four of these guys healthy scratches, because two spots of the inactive list will be spoken for with Cole Beasley and Reggie Gilliam. So plenty of different ways they can play it, but yeah, there's a lot at stake past just this week and the second seed and everything like that. So I am of the full belief, and I continue to be, that they should put their best foot forward toward the playoffs rather than seeding as opposed to anything. The other guy that I think is really interesting for this, I'd like to know your thoughts on him, is AJ Epenesa getting a starter's amount of reps potentially in this game, because he has really come on since the bye week. They've given him an average of around 25 snaps a game. He's looked good. He's looked more explosive. He's been playing the run well. I'm very intrigued to see what he has in maybe a 40 to 45 snap sort of game, to see what he could be next year. Maybe even factoring into the starting lineup and pushing maybe even Mario Addison into more of a rotational role now that he's getting into the later stages of his career. So Epenesa, I think, is one that I'm definitely on board to tracking this week.
Yeah, I think the nice part about, you know, playing Epenesa is that they do have Trent Murphy to fall back on. Not that, you know, with any luck, AJ Epenesa can get through the game fine. But like we've said, you can't rest everybody. And, you know, sometimes you just have to play certain guys. And it's not as if they would totally ruin their depth. They're very deep on the defensive line. But Epenesa has certainly turned a corner a little bit. There's a reason Trent Murphy has been a healthy scratch so often, and it's because of the way that Epenesa has played. He's, you know, it's seems like he's changed his body quite a bit, according to Leslie Absolutely. Frazier. You know, dropped some weight and gotten more to where they like their defensive ends. You can kind of see it in his face, I feel like, and the rest of him, but he looks a lot different if you look at, you know, photos from the combine and then, photos now. I think, you know, he definitely looks a lot different, and he's playing better. This has not been an amazing rookie season for AJ Epenesa by any means, but given everything that, you know, went on over the summer and the way that they wanted him to kind of, turn his body around a little bit and change his physique, it's going fairly well, the way that it's finishing up and getting a chance at sort of a full evaluation, because that's the interesting part about this, is it isn't just like a preseason game, because these guys will go up against a team that's really going for it and has all their guys in. So, and that's who AJ Epenesa should be measuring himself against. So I think he'll be fun to watch. Daryl Johnson in the same boat, a guy that's starting to come along. a bit, you know, really good special teamer for him. So there's some guys on defense. Jaquan Johnson, another name that is always interesting to watch. Thought he played pretty well in this game a year ago. So, you know, a good evaluation chance for them on that side of the ball where, again, kind of like the offensive line, they may have to have some guys at some point in the next few years really step up as guys get a little bit older and move on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not – I was kind of looking forward to Epenesa going up against Austin Jackson, who was a Dolphins first-round pick this past year, used to be the left tackle at USC. The last time these two guys played, Epenesa just absolutely dominated the matchup in college, I am saying, where he – I think he had three sacks in that game, maybe two, but he had a bunch of pressures and really just made Austin Jackson not look good at all in that matchup. So I would be interested to see that matchup, but it seems as though they have settled on Austin Jackson moving to a rotation or a backup role in their starting lineup, and Jesse Davis is listed amongst their starters with the offensive line at left tackle. So either way, it's still going to be an offensive line that is going for it. And oh, by the way, when they first drafted Epenesa, they said that he would probably be a left defensive end in their system, but he's basically been playing solely on the right side, occasionally on the left side, but he's basically been Mario Addison's backup at right defensive end. So they must really like him over there, and he must feel more comfortable over there. And that would be for Epenesa moving forward, that would be the spot where he could potentially take over some starter caliber reps next year. So yeah, going to be really intrigued to see how he goes. And Jaquan Johnson's another one. That's another great name for this. Jaquan Johnson, who looked great and should have had an interception last year if it wasn't for a kind of an asinine Kurt Coleman roughing the passer penalty. Like, it was totally Coleman's fault. He shouldn't have come anywhere close to the quarterback. But, you know, it took away a really spectacular interception from Jaquan Johnson. And then other than that, I think one sneaky thing that could happen here is getting John Brown some reps, which is probably an important thing to them. Even if it's just two or three series, getting him reacclimated just a little bit. And they activated him off the reserve COVID-19 list on Friday. So everything's a go there. But I would anticipate he's active, just get a little bit of time as long as they're resting their starters. And so that way he's not going into the playoffs cold, which is not the worst thing in the world, but certainly something they would like to avoid if they could.
Yeah. You'd rather see him out there, at least let him go through, you know, the pregame routine, get a few series in and, you know, just get his legs underneath him a little bit, because I think they're going to need him, you know, come playoff time. He's, you know, obviously been in and out of the lineup this year and, you know, struggled with injuries, but the offense has been great with or without him at this point, but it adds a different dimension for sure, especially if they're going to be without Cole Beasley, which is looking like a possibility for that first playoff game. He hasn't practiced all week. He got that dreaded week-to-week label from McDermott, which usually means more than 1 week. So playoffs, I think, throws a different variable into that equation. I'm sure he'll be doing everything he can to get back for that game, but might not be the easiest task in the world. So getting John Brown back and having him ready to roll, they don't play the same position, but at least gives you some flexibility in terms of what you can do on offense.
Yeah, definitely. And I misspoke because the Dolphins do not have an accurate depth chart on their official website, because last week, Austin Jackson, the guy that I was talking about, started at left tackle against the Raiders. So it would be a potential Epenesa versus Austin Jackson matchup. So that should be fun if it does indeed happen.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right, let's go to the prediction portion of the program. The Bills, the line has been all over the place because no one can really peg what the Bills are going to do with their starters. But as of now, on the DraftKings Sportsbook, the Bills are 3.5-point favorites at home, and the over-under on the game is 42.5 points. So maybe a little bit of a hedge there, and you know, maybe with the Bills, whenever the Bills are involved, if it's something lower than 47-48, you know, Vegas thinks that they're onto something. And so I would anticipate that Vegas is probably thinking the Bills are going to rest their guys. Otherwise that over under wouldn't be so darn low at 42.5. So Bills, are 3.5-point favorites. Who beats the spread? Who wins? And what do you have for the over-under?
Yeah, this feels like way more of a guessing game than usual just because of the element of the Bills potentially not playing their starters for a good chunk of this game. I think I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win and cover that spread. Feel more comfortable with them covering the spread than winning outright. But if Josh Allen doesn't play for a good chunk of this game, I just don't see the Bills scoring enough points on that Miami defense. Now, the caveat here is if Josh Allen plays and they try to get out to a lead and then protect it with some of the backups, I think the Bills actually have a pretty good chance there. I just think they're going to pull those guys pretty early based on what they did last year. And they lost to the Jets last year when they did that. They're deeper probably this year, but still the Dolphins are a good team with a lot more to play for. It would be a pretty big indictment on them if they didn't beat the Bills backups here. It's, you know, and the Bills don't have, while they have the 2 seed to play for, they probably get that anyways, I think. And they don't have a whole lot of control over their opponent. Not that they would necessarily be trying to hand pick or anything like that, but there's actually a chance by the end of the 1 o'clock games, we could know who they're playing. If they lose and the Steelers lose. Well, if they lose is the only way we know who they're playing. And they're probably not playing Miami again unless they win. They actually can't play Miami again unless they win, if I'm looking at this right. So, you know, they could either be locked into a game against the Browns or the Ravens by the end of the 1 o'clock games, I believe, are the two scenarios. And otherwise, it'll come down to the Titans, Colts games in the 4 o'clock window. But, yeah, anyways, and I'm going to pick the under because I don't think a lot of points are going to get scored here.
Yeah. I am with you all across the board, actually. I'm not even convinced that Josh Allen is even going to dress for this game. I think there's a pretty, at least logically in my brain, there's a pretty good shot that makes sense as to why he would not be active for the game and be a healthy scratch, because he is everything. Like, the Bills just put out a tweet today that said he accounts for a higher percentage of a team's offensive output than any other person in the league. And I don't necessarily think that they would want to risk losing that guy in a game that, for the most part, doesn't mean anything to them other than potentially the number two or number three seed. I just don't know McDermott to be that much of a risk taker and that much of someone that would take that chance, especially when he has such an incredible opportunity for an advantage of a week off and making sure basically his entire starting crew is healthy. So I'm probably thinking that we see this is a Matt Barkley / Jake Fromm game. I'm very much anticipating Antonio Williams being the feature back in this game, the practice squad running back, and then trying to see what a lot of the young guys have to do. And if like you said, if the Dolphins can't beat that, then they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. So I'm going to take the Dolphins to win, obviously for them to cover since they're underdogs in this game. And I will also take the under, because with a Matt Barkley and Jake Fromm led attack against a Dolphins team that is trying to get to the postseason, I don't know that I trust that team to get to 20 points, maybe even not even 17 points. So I'll take the Dolphins to win, the Dolphins to cover, and the under. So yeah, that'll do it. We'll see exactly what the Bills' plan is, but I don't know. It just seems like too good of an opportunity, and they're pretty smart about these opportunities to not like defy logic most times. Yeah, I don't know. It just makes all the sense with how they've approached things in the past that they rest these guys. It doesn't it?
Yeah, and the lack of a typical season where your bye week, they had a bye week, of course. They were one of the teams that was fortunate that didn't really have their bye week disrupted, but it's still not the bye week in the same sense of hitting that mental reset button. And I think there's enough value in that to take advantage of it. There's the sports science piece of it that I'm sure they study closely. So yeah, you can go back and forth on, oh man, you want them to finish strong, you want them to finish undefeated in the division. I don't think that all that stuff's that important to them. You know, they've already, you know, they've done enough of the statement game nonsense. You know, all the little things that the statement, they've graduated from statement games a while ago. Mm-hmm. Finishing undefeated in the division does not matter. Finishing 13-3 does not matter. Winning next weekend is what matters, and the weekend after that, and after that. So I think they recognize that. They've had that frame of mind all year. I would be pretty surprised to see Josh Allen beyond even a couple of series.
If at all.
Yeah, I'd be more surprised if he played a full half than if he were a healthy scratch. You know, like I don't know if they do that and he gets hurt, then they deserve every bit of criticism.
Yep, I agree. All right, so the Bills have one more game against the Dolphins, and then we'll find out who they're playing in the playoffs and start to discuss that matchup, and maybe even touch on some of the younger players and how they perform against the Dolphins, who are trying to make the playoffs. All right. So for Matthew Fairburn, my name is Joe Biscaglia. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this edition of the Buffalo Beat. And throughout the regular season, this is the final regular season preview pod. So, next step for the preview pod will be in the playoffs. So for Matt, thank you very much. And we will talk to you after the game on Sunday. See you then.
Hey, hey! Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.